Okay, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's been 4:30 on the Google Doc. I will declare that May meeting of the Hampshire Council open, and I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land we're meeting today, the Wurundjeri and Bimbalan people, and acknowledge their ancestors past, present and emerging. And for some reason the PA system seems very loud today, but that's good. I can hear myself. Just to remind people, particularly those giving presentations, that the meetings are recorded and are attached to our website on our minutes, I think 10 days after the meeting. But as a, if you're really looking to enhance your knowledge of the Manapshire, the entire meeting is there to be heard. Attendance apologies. We have full attendance. There are no apologies. Point three on the agenda, public question time. Not to confuse with public presentation time, but public question time, where members of the public can quiz the CEO himself on matters affecting council. Must give your name and address. For the audio tape, Rita.
Beg your pardon?
For the audio tape.
Yes, I'm back. Isn't it wonderful? Rita Stella, East Town of
unremarkable tree and shrub growth and how insignificant the trees and scrubs are, were they better for qualification?
Okay, we'll take question by question. I'll hand the CEO. Were the people who did the vegetation assessment better for qualifications? No.
Is the shower aware of how important are the many linear levels of above and under story?
Yes.
Good. Are you aware tree trunk sizes, as shown on the map supplied, appear inaccurate, as original girth, is 2 and 3 to 4 times that stated, and the supposedly dead tree branches green leaves?
We'll take that on notice.
Are you aware how old and valuable such trees are, and their significance to habitat, native community, and wider environment?
I guess the answer to that is yes.
Thank you. Are you aware the survey has not included small indigenous perennials?
Not aware of that, no.
Were endangered species considered at all in the survey?
I assume so.
What recognised Aboriginal authority did the Shire rely on to decide that the land on which to site the lion's shed does not have any Indigenous cultural significance?
Thank you, Mr Chair. So, having a look at the ACH portal, there wasn't any known sites on there, and if it's deemed appropriate, an activity notice will be lodged with the local heritage group if needed.
Chairman, how would that be done?
So,
You have to do an inquiry system with the local carry ground.
Thank you. What are the Shire specifications as to necessary clearing around the proposed lion's shed?
Can you just repeat that one?
What are the Shire specifications as to necessary clearing around the proposed lion shed? One would assume there'd be fire mitigation as well as other issues.
That will be deemed, that'll be decided at the time, but it will be necessary clearing to do things like establish a pad and make sure there's a sufficient buffer around the shed to be constructed.
So there is no meterage concerned with fire mitigation for a non-habitable shed?
I don't know the answer to that straight off right now, but we can certainly find it out for you.
Thank you. Are you aware of the grossly inaccurate Lyons statement that the 10 metres wide shed will be obscured from the road by a line of mature trees, whereas the road opening to the shed is 16 metres wide and completely bare of any vegetation?
Yeah.
The fact that it's untrue, so obviously that's an opinion you're expressing, but nonetheless, that's the Lyons' view on that statement.
Mr. Chairman, will you investigate this position that I have taken and see if there is a line of mature trees in front of the proposed shed?
I would imagine be part of the overall development application if it gets approved.
Are councillors aware that the Lyons state that they are putting a storage shed next to a fire shed, and this is only inaccurate by 150 metres?
Well, technically it is next to a fire shed.
Jason.
In the same suburb. Are councillors also aware that if it was actually put next to the Nanabrook fire shed, it would have already existing access and be partially hidden by vegetation? And why is this not considered?
So, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So that could be a consideration. This is where the site that was identified as most preferred at the time. We were trying not to have the shed also impede on our depot operations that are required for that same site. If that makes sense.
No, I wonder what operations you're talking about.
Well, we use that as an ancillary depot to store goods for Shire Works. And by making sure that what the Lyons were doing did not clash with what we needed from that site as well as our depot.
In that case, why can't the shed be alongside the works party so that it is still hidden by vegetation and the access is still the same? Clear.
So, yeah.
As in against the fence?
Yes.
Because we might look to expand that depot at a later stage as well. We also had to consider the Shire's future needs of that site, because it is the use that's permitted on there is for a Shire depot, the whole triangle site.
Thank you. Why can't the large shed be erected on the road into the waste management area then, where no one will be adversely affected?
See that?
That's not Shire managed land.
Mr. Chairman, is it impossible to change the planning, same as was done for the road reserve?
Off the top of my head, I thought that DVCA probably would balk severely at impinging on their forest estate.
Do you think any Shire staff or councillors would want the Lyons shed opposite their own town site home with the subsequent devaluation and visual eyesore?
A loaded question. I can't answer that. That's a loaded question.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. Would you like it?
I had a BP station opposite my house for 50 years. Didn't worry me.
Now, in this town?
No, a loaded question. No.
Thank you. Would you agree that although Lyons have emphasised storage only for the proposed shed, a likely future progression would be to conduct mini or otherwise auctions or sales on site, as is the case in other jurisdictions?
From reading the text of the document, it would be contrary to their development application. They wouldn't be allowed to.
Does that mean not ever?
I can't speak for future councils in 5 or 10 years' time, but under the current ruling, yes.
How can you trust the reports from Edge Planning, Birmingham Park, or Servcon Surveying Services, when, for instance, they erroneously stated that the North Nanup Bushfire Brigade shed is on East Nanup Road? Please, how can you trust them, I ask, with such inaccurate information?
Well, they need to do their due diligence on their documents, don't they?
I beg your pardon?
They need to do better due diligence on their documents. But I do trust Edge Planning, we've been dealing with for 20 plus years that I've been on council.
That explains it. Has the Shire considered replanning regulations 2015, the Shire's regulations, and under matters to be considered by council, and I quote, cultural heritage significance, compatibility with setting, history of site, and impact on particular individuals?
I assume that's in the documents as well, yes.
To be considered, you say?
Mm.
Do you think it reasonable that respect for residents' rights is sacrificed so that Lions can quit their grant on time?
That's a loaded question again. I can't answer that.
Is the rush due to DPLH or the Shire or the Lions?
Can't answer that.
Are you aware that the 11th hour rush has deprived residents of reasonable time to evaluate, ask questions of the Shire and have them answered by the Shire?
Can't answer that.
Are you aware that the questions I asked of the Shire have still not been answered by the Shire and I have instead been given inaccurate and dismissive statements by Edge Planning and the vested interest Lions?
No, I'm not aware that your questions haven't been answered by the Shire. CEO Mike Luckman, comment on that?
I don't know directly myself because I don't look after that department, but if you've been provided an answer, are you saying your answers didn't say what you wanted them to be, or are you saying
not
that...
No, not at all, Mr. CEO. Through the chair, I'm saying that the replies I received from the Shire were just from the Lions. They weren't from the Shire. It was just photocopy that and send it on.
Yeah, I saw that document. In our documents tonight. I'll ask the CEO just to, not now, but to have a look at that, see why an individual reply wasn't given.
Thank you. And with so many inaccurate line planning and survey statements and important questions still unanswered by staff, how could councillors make seriously considered deliberations?
Well, we believe that if it's the document has got to this point where it's presented to council for a decision on a development application, then we believe, in all good faith, that the staff have done their job.
I wasn't only referring to staff. I mentioned Edge Planning.
And Edge Planning, yes.
Thank you.
Are there any more questions, members of the public? Name and address?
Colin Peter Brown, 63 Warren Road now.
I take exception to the statement by a reader that the shed could be an eyesore. It hadn't even been constructed, and yet there's dwellings next to her place on the approach to East Down Road. That it looks like a heavy village there.
Peter, questions? Yeah. Questions.
Oh, sorry. That's all I want to say.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Now, members of the public wish to ask questions of council business. Members of leave apps, there are no approved leave of absence for this meeting. There are no applications for leave of absence. Okay. Confirmation of minutes. Warren Blackwell Lines of Council board meeting. Be received, 5.1, Councillor Hanson, Councillor Gibb, so move. Any dissent, if not, all in favour, Councillor Carrie. 5.2, Warren Blackwell Council's Climate Reference Group, Councillor Hanson, Councillor Curtis. Any discussion, if not, all in favour, Councillor Carrie. 5.3, Shire then an ordinary council meeting on the 24th of April. If there are true and correct record of that meeting, move and second, please. Councillor Gill.
No, I'm not seconding it, I'm not moving it. I want a question.
Okay, so move, please. Councillor Brown. Second, Councillor Fraser. Now, Councillor Gibb is questioning an alteration to the minutes.
Mr Chairman, the minutes show that I declared a impartiality declaration. I actually, that it's been recorded in the minutes that I recorded a financial declaration. This is pretty relevant in business that's going on outside of this council, and I think that it should be corrected and acknowledged in the minutes.
Okay, so Councillor Gibb is saying in the minutes you've declared a financial when it should be impartiality.
That I declared an impartiality.
Yep, when it should have been financial.
Financial. That's okay. A copy of what I declared.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. So with that amendment to the minutes, Councillor Brown, Councillor Fraser, you accept that change to the minutes? I'm happy with that?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Okay, any other discussion? Okay, with that change to the minutes, all those in favour? Against, carry. Audit and Risk Committee, 24th of April, move and second to that, please. Councillor Sly. Councillor Curtis, any discussion? If not, all in favour? That's carried. South West Zone meeting on the 28th of April, Swellbeck. Councillor Hanson has moved. Councillor Curtis has seconded that those minutes be received. Any discussion? If not, all in favour? That's carried. Audit and Risk Committee meeting on the 8th of May. The unconfirmed minutes be received. Councillor Brown, Councillor Sly. Any discussion? If not, all in favour? Against, carried. Okay. Item 6 on the agenda, announcements from presiding members. I don't have an announcement this meeting. Disclosure of interest. Of subjects on the agenda tonight. I have the following disclosures of interest from Councillor Gibb, a financial interest on item 11.6, which is the caravan camping one. Also from the CEO, 11.6, temporary camping, 11.6. A financial interest. Councillor Brown on 11.5, DA on the industry extractive gravel pit, financial interest. And Councillor Curtis on temporary camping, 11.6, financial interest there. They're all financial interests, so when those come up for debate, those people will leave the meeting. No questions by members. Presentations, deputations, and others. Right, we have four tonight. First one is Jean Stiles and Simone. If you'd like to make a presentation on 11.4 development application for the Kinney Shed.
In
table
C, we've just got a presentation, so I don't know if you'll be able to see.
Everything. This was under 9 minutes all this week. I've been practicing. the stress levels through the whole breathing thing might be interesting. And someone, I can't see you over there, so just turn.
Yeah, John.
I'll follow you. Yeah, you'll be right.
Into the microphone.
Turn it down.
Good afternoon, I'm Jenny Stiles and I'm representing the signatories and East Hanlop Road residents, ratepayers, from our submission letter dated 29th of April 2025 with regard to the development application for a storage shed for the Lions Club. This presentation is a collaborative effort by a number of the residents. We firstly wanted to again express that this has never been about the Lions Club. We all support the local Lions and the great work that they do within the community. This all began when a couple of the Lions Club members actually approached the residents of East Hanlop Road.
Jim, just speak into the one you can't hear.
It's going to hear me.
Sorry, yeah, no, sorry.
That's okay.
I can't hear it.
Oh, you can move it? Right.
Yeah. Technology.
Is that better? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yep.
This all began when a couple of Lions Club members actually approached the residents of East Hanlop Road with concerns for this development. As concerned residents, some of us started making calls to both council planning staff and local councillors. Our concerns resulted in our first letter to council dated the 4th of November 2024, which was met with a tacit response from the CEO, by which we felt belittled and maligned for just seeking information. We also tried to engage with the president of the Lions Club, and he provided very little detail, to be honest, despite them putting in a grant application for funding. We also now know we will be railroaded, as we would like to note the date of the application for the development on the letter from the Lions to the Shire was the 22nd of October 2024. We felt let down and disappointed that this doesn't really fit with the transparent, inclusive administration of a small Shire. We strongly believe if council staff and the Lions Club reps had engaged with us in the first instance, this would have been so much easier for everyone concerned, rather than feeling like, once again, the administration is trying to ramp through something that they have agreed to under the auspices of helping the community without any consultation with the actual residents that it negatively impacts. Despite our shock and the speed that this has taken to be approved by the administration, clearly driven by the 30th of June deadline for the Lions funding, we have managed to have a residents' meeting to ascertain the support for this development. I can tell you unequivocally that every resident along East Hanlop Road that it impacts disagrees. Most are here tonight and have also signed our petition. In order to be helpful, we have been researching and would like to point out what we believe to be other options with the Shire that present as viable options at this 11th hour. Firstly, Monaghan Street, the site of the current men's shed. This site has a huge amount of land, 11,000 square metres in fact, with a large amount of that area that is underutilised and would be fit for purpose of a storage shed surely. We understand the ownership of this property is under the men's shed, but we believe it can be reassessed by the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage reasonably and quickly to be amended to include another local charity organisation, especially given the size of the land. Was this ever investigated? Have the men's shed been approached? If the men's shed were not agreeable to such a share arrangement, why not? We note similarity to this situation that the land was sourced by the Mannup Shire. Further, that it is not under Shire ownership, as we understand the Shire told the department that the men's shed should be the interested party when they were asked. We're very keen to understand this process as well. Based on research, we understand in 2018, five residents objected to the proposal. Those were the closest to the site, and seven further down the street, including the school, approved. A piece of land is now in the middle of a residential area being used for semi-industrial purposes. I believe this has caused significant problems. This time, for the Lions shed, no resident has approved. Has the council considered the same issues in this situation? It is our view that the Lions Club has been let down by Shire staff in its strategic support, especially in maximising the economic benefit the Lions Club could get from accessing land that was already fit for purpose. That being the current men's shed location. Not only would it provide the cheaper development costs, but the ongoing sharing of infrastructure with the two not-for-profit organisations working together for the betterment of the community can only be a win-win. And there's a picture on the, yep. Secondly, we proposed the Carlotta Hall on the Bass Highway near Graphite Road, which is probably the best option. The site currently houses the Carlotta Hall and the Carlotta Bushfire Brigade Shed, and it is zoned public purpose under the auspices of the Shire. The site, as you can see, has a lot of area to build a shed without having to undertake significant site works. It is 19,498 square metres and is only 13.9 kilometres from Nanna, 11 minutes to drive. There's a picture of that. We also considered the Waste Management Reserve a viable option. We believe this location provides a substantial opportunity for a storage facility and does not face the same limitations that the council depot has. Despite a purported plan to extend the tip, surely the building currently housing the recycling centre could be extended. We have also identified an extra two public reserve areas in Jobarriga that is also best for community purpose. Were these areas considered? If they were, why were they then deemed unsuitable? Surely for a storage shed, a drive is not an issue. In relation to the consultation process, we have found this to be anything but satisfactory. The letter from the Shire staff dated the 8th of April 2025 gave the residents the opportunity to comment by the 22nd of April. Unfortunately, the information provided by the Shire staff in that letter was incorrect. The map plan that was included had the shed location with the long side, 20 metres, fronting East Nanup Road. We've only just found out this last Saturday that it is in fact incorrect, and the front of the shed, which is 10 metres, is fronting East Nanup Road. Not that that makes a difference at this point. The correspondence from the Lions Club was also included, but this correspondence was asking for permission to have a storage shed within the Shire depot, not the area where we are currently debating. Further, the legislated 14-day notice period was not adequately provided for at all, and the letter sent out to residents within the 14-day period, including both the day the letter was written and mailed, and also included the closing day, which is incorrect, especially when they were mailed. Further, the counting of the days included weekends. Easter also fell within this period, and this wasn't addressed in the timeframes either, making it feel rushed and difficult. Again, reasserting our position that our views are irrelevant and this is a done deal. So much of this development is still unknown, and in our view, rushed to meet the Lions deadline. This guesswork would have been alleviated if council staff could have provided the correct and accurate information, or at the very least, met with us on site to show us. How are we supposed to provide an informed opinion when the information being provided is not accurate? I now turn to the Lions Club responses documentation dated the 6th of May 2025, which is not satisfactory in our view and, to be honest, a little condescending. It was stated in that letter, we are advised that the site for the proposed lion shed would have no environmental impact on endangered species. The area is a long time pram reserve with unremarkable tree and shrub regrowth. We would like to see and or have access to the same advice or report. If this is the opinion of the respondent or a proper review by the relevant department. Further, can the applicant show or provide evidence from the Department of Biodiversity's website to substantiate their position? Just because it has been stated within this document doesn't make it a fact. A decision should not be made until an environmental impact report has been undertaken. In fact, the Planning and Development Local Planning Scheme Regs 2015 Schedule 2, Part 9, Procedures for Dealing with Applications for Development Approval, Clause 67, matters to be considered by local government points to the likely effect of the development on the natural environment or water resources and any means that are proposed to protect or to mitigate impacts on the natural environment or the water resource. And point P, whether adequate provision that has been made for the landscaping of the land to which the application relates and whether any trees or other vegetation on the land should be preserved. We would like to see the report confirming these conditions have been met by council. A decision should not be made until compliance has been confirmed. In this same correspondence, it stated that the Nanop Lions announced the grant from the state government for the shed on repeated occasions and lodged a development application as soon as possible. Residents have been consulted in the normal way. We would like it known that none of us have been consulted by the Lions Club. Also stated by the Lions correspondence, we disagree with the assertion that the building site for the proposed Lions shed has protectable Indigenous cultural significance, and if otherwise, the construction of the Lions shed would not diminish or limit any future cultural interest or studies. This is astonishing to say the least. I remind the councillors, under the Aboriginal Heritage Act 1972, which was strengthened recently under this current government, doesn't matter whether the Lions Club agrees or not, this is a role of the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage to ensure that there is not Indigenous cultural significance in this location. To that end, we would also like to see the report that this is a fact, or the application and response made by the Shire or the Lions to the Aboriginal Cultural Heritage Inquiry System, that this development is no harm or risk to Aboriginal heritage. It is our contention that word of mouth storytelling from two highly respected whole of life Nanupians makes this entirely possible, and further, its proximity to both the Nanup and Carlotta Brooks, both of which are considered protected under this legislation, is definitely enough to investigate. It is our position that failing to do so is not only a cavalier but arrogant. It could very likely result in heavy fines for the Shire and the Lions Club. $100,000 was a recent fine, and this may have to be borne by the ratepayers of Nanup, not to mention a PR disaster and an unacceptable risk in our view. Lions have also stated we disagree with the assertion that the building site for the proposed Lions shed has protectable historical conservation values. In any event, the construction of the Lions shed would not diminish or limit any future historical interest. Again, we consider this to be an opinion. We have all seen the historical signs in place depicting the Mundipindi trail, the historical routes, and we would also request clarification from council staff regarding this matter, particularly as the Planning and Development Local Planning Schemes Regulation 2015 Schedule 2 Part 9, Procedure for Dealing with the Applications for Development Approval Clause 67, matters to be considered by the local government. Point K, the built heritage conservation of any place that is of cultural significance. We would like evidence from the Shire where this clause has been met. In our many conversations with many people through this process, we have heard and been disturbed by the comments that councillors may not like to vote against a not-for-profit organisation. Lions are both national and international organisation. What has happened to supporting your residents and ratepayers that do not have the backing of a bigger organisation, and we are only trying to protect our lifestyle and amenities for which we have paid for, should we not be allowed to do so without fear of being ostracised and denigrated? Additionally, whilst we do acknowledge the potential for the authenticity of the Lions submission to this date in that the shed is for a storage purpose only, we would like to draw your attention to photos here of the men's shed site on Widdowson Street and remind you of the terms, scope and conditions attached to this development back in 2018. That being that a fence be erected between the properties, no construction materials to be stored, no traffic movements on Widdowson Street and screening plants to minimise the visual impact in a residential area. This is 5 years later. I might also suggest that now this original development is being added to and made bigger, also with a grant from the government. As part of the men's shed submission for the grant, they are now offering classes in woodwork and the like, which will not only increase the traffic flow, noise, and further increase the visual impact and disruption to the residential area of Nanup, despite assurances of it just being a shed for the men to gather in 2018. Someone's got those pictures. I can assure you that despite the administration trickery in putting all of us eight residents' objections into one objection, all residents of East Nanup Road object to this proposal and stand by the issues provided in our previous submissions and response letters. I've also got the individuals to sign, the individual letters to mark in case anybody wants to see them. We do oppose the removal of any vegetation that forms a buffer to a major highway. The entrance exit to this location is not safe if you're turning. Our lifestyle, environmentally and visually, is very important to all of us. To us all, and we don't believe that this should be traded off for the erection of a storage shed when it's proven today there are alternatives that are better suited, more sustainable and offer better economic use of the funding from the government. Well, that's one drop. I would personally like to thank the councillors for taking my calls, returning my calls, and endeavouring to get accurate information for us. I've been a pain, I know, for this last few months. We are all your constituents, and we strongly believe that councillors are the representatives of the ratepayers and residents of Manor. And further, we wanted to find out from council tonight if any of the councillors have vested interest before it goes to the vote.
In the lines, i.e. are members of or have family members who are, that's a conflict of interest in our view.
No interest has been given.
We just thought we'd remind you.
Yep.
Okay. So that's all that I've got, so I'll just sit down now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, presentation number two. Kim Hyman. Welcome, Kim, as President of the Lions. We'd like to talk to the subject as well.
Thank you, Councillors, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate the opportunity to make a presentation to you in support of the development application before you under Agenda Item 11.4. This is a proposal for a development application for Lions to use state government funding to build a storage shed on East Mount Road as part of the Crown Reserve. The reason why we required the shed and the importance to the Nanup Lions Club of having that shed have been set out in the documents that are part of your agenda today. I don't know that I need to repeat those comments, but I'm happy to take any questions that you may have. And the urgency is that these funds were intended only for one financial year. Native Forest Transition Scheme. And while the granting authority has been very patient, as we've missed some deadlines for getting the development application, the building license and contracts done, I really don't believe I can persuade the authority to be on hold indefinitely, especially if the council was minded not to deal with the matter tonight. The perspective that we have is that we have gone down this road almost to the limit now and find ourselves in the situation now where if the development application does not find favour with the council, then that pretty much kills the project. The Lion's Shed is, in our view, a relatively low impact development. And while we share with the residents who have objected to the development their values for a serene lifestyle and a peaceful street, we believe that the mitigation that has been provided by both in the design and the consultations with Shire so far should address reasonable concerns. And secondly, the Shire's proposed development application conditions, including a management plan and adequate arrangements for access, parking, and stormwater drainage, means that the concerns of the residents are going to be under the firm control of the Shire going forward. Lions will not own this shed, it will be erected on Crown land and will be under the administration of the Shire into the future. And in the event that Lions failed to keep the conditions of not only the lease, but also the management plan, then quite simply, the Shire could step in and do whatever needed to be done. Ladies and gentlemen, I do urge you to support this application. I really do need a positive sign from Council to be able to take to state government. And in the event that we are to work with the Shire to make sure that this is as low impact by construction as possible, as attractive as a final well-constructed shed can be, and to have the situation where the very limited traffic and usage of it presents no substantial alteration to the serenity of the landscape. I'm happy to take any questions the council may have.
Any questions? Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Okay, another item on the agenda, item 11.5. Michael Dennis and Tony Baxter, are you here?
Yep.
You want to make a presentation on agenda item 11.5, do I have an application for extractive industry, gravel?
prevent or reduce as far as possible the impact of the environmental and human health arising from extraction, processing, managing and transportation of materials and basic raw materials. Department of Primary Industries and the Regional Development stating their submission to the Council that they have concerns the activities will have a negative impact on the residents and notes the EPA separation guidelines. We believe this proposal goes against many of the planning strategies and the EPA separation guidelines. The major concerns that there's not enough water being to keep the dust down on the proposed extraction area, which is in total 10 hectares, plus stockpiles, bungalows and access roads. Department of Water and Environmental Regulations asked in their submission for the proponent to qualify their water to quantify their water requirements, ensure there is not be a water shortage, and they also asked for a stormwater management plan. On the health side of things, several residents in the group have lung conditions. One being asthma, another has lung nodules, and a recently third case has been diagnosed with emphysema. All of these issues are aggravated and compounded by airborne particulates, namely dust. And mental health should also be considered. Stress and anguish has been raised during this process. Noise, ripping and crushing, and screening and vehicle movements are all sources of loud noise, which is incompatible with the locality. Properties will be impacted by the use of Red Gully Road from both noise and dust. Entering and exiting Red Gully Road, you must negotiate a hill changing through the gears, with empty trailers bouncing along the corrugations or changing down and using air brakes as you exit. Gravel road would need to be managed for dust generation, mainly in the drier months. There are several inconsistencies in the development plan and the proponent's letter to the Shire dated 3rd of the 4th, 25. The application talks of 118,000 cubic metres, which equates to over 160,000 tonne, whereas the letter dated the 3rd of the 4th, 25 refers to 40 to 50,000 tonnes. Opponent talks of 40 tonne loads where they're only allowed to carry 40 tonnes gross weight on Red Gully Road. There's also state that there's a need for gravel. They also state there is a need for the gravel, but ask for a 10-year extraction permit. So they have time to sell the product. Currently, sand is extracted from the site on a turn-up, load your vehicle and leave basis with no regard to mitigating dust, noise or any other controls. Well, Phil, once the gravel has been ripped, crushed, stockpiled, the same system will apply. This is not acceptable with 10 hectares of exposed earth, stockpiles, one wall and access roads left to the whims of the prevailing winds. No one is there to continually monitor and water the dust generating in these areas, which is really a full-time position. By the way, the caretaker's cottage is referenced in the documentation, but no caretaker is employed. The house is rented. The proponent has in the past shown scant regard for the rules and regulations, knowingly running egg production on farms without appropriate council approval. They're also very reluctant to repair damage done to Roberts Road by truck movements when removing sand from their property. This gave rise to them using Red Gully Road. In the past 5 years I've lived here, Red Gully Road has only been remediated by a neighbour and a handful of times by backblading with his loader. We hold fears Ms. Cavalier's attitude will continue in regards to any management plans that may be imposed should this application be successful. Property values. There will be significant devaluation the property values in the immediate area, except for the proponent's land. While this isn't considered by the Shire administration, I urge the councillors to take this into their considerations, as it will definitely deter prospective buyers in the Shire, knowing that their investment could drop 20 to 30% overnight. While none of us are contemplating selling up, you never know what the future holds. 10 years is a long time. Should anyone need to go into aged care, then the depleted value of their property could reduce their options substantially. One residence has operated as a B&B in the past. The owner bought this property with this in mind as a future business venture. No one wants to holiday next to an extraction operation. So in summation, the application is against the EPA recommendations, against numerous aims and objectives in the local Shire planning strategy. We urge the councillors to dismiss this application and allow the residents to go back to their regular existence and enjoy the property, surroundings, landscapes and ambience that they first saw, fell in love with and playful with their hard-earned cash. Regards from the concerned residents in Carlow. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Any questions? So I've spoken on behalf of Tony himself and the resident, other affected residents.
Thank you, Mike.
Questions, is there?
Any questions? Thank you. Okay, Beth and Linda Crouch. Name and address, please.
Hi, my name is Lyndon Crouch. I live at 6464 Cunningham South Road. I would like to address the councillors. For a start, we'll go back to the beginning of when we put our application in. We put in an application for 118,000 tonne. The Shire then put it out to the locals at 118,000 cubic metres. That is incorrect. That is 80,000 tonne difference. That's for a start. So that may have changed the residents' ideas out there, I don't know. But that is incorrect with our application. From there, we have done more work and we realised that there is not that much there. There is, in our second submission to the Shire, we put in 40 to 50,000 tonne, which would take, not dozers, but grinders on an excavator, to do 40 to 50,000 tonne, about 30 days complete. But with that, you would not get anyone to come in to do 30 days straight. We would only do it as the gravel is required. So effectively, we would only use, well, it would only be 30 days in and out, not 10 years. But the reason why we put 10 years in, because we don't know whether it's today, tomorrow, 5 years, or 9 years before we sell that gravel. Now, as far as agriculture priority, the main reason why we're doing this is because that land with the gravel and rock is not viable to run agriculture on. Cattle. By moving the rock, putting topsoil back, we will make that land more profitable for agriculture. Residents in Nanup need gravel, whether that's a Shire, whether that's buildings, roads, whatever. So Nanup needs that resource. We will upgrade the intersection on Main Road, the intersection of Red Gully and Vass Highway to Main Road specifications. That is what they want, we will do. As far as people using Red Gully Road. There is no other people using it. It is not a survey road. I know Mike does operate through there, but his legal access is off Bass Highway, not Red Gully Road. As far as line of sight to the housing, to where the extraction is going to happen, there is only one house in that line of sight. I'm not talking properties, I'm talking house, line of sight from the houses. There's only one. And that person who has that house knew we were putting in for an application for gravel extraction before he brought the place. Dust and water, there is, the creek actually starts in our place, so we own the water that is coming out of the back of our place. For our dust suppression, you don't need a lot when you do crushing of, or grinding of gravel. But also, we're happy with the Shire to do it when it's spring or autumn or winter, and not do it in the summertime when there is dust everywhere. The other one with wind, why not use our brains instead of doing it on westerly winds, put it in that we can only operate on easterly winds, which would blow the noise, if there's a lot of noise, away from the residents. And as far as using Roberts Road, I'm sure the neighbours would be more upset about us using that road than Red Gully Road, because it doesn't compete with any other residents on that road. Mick Silvestrick, who rents our house, is our caretaker. He does look after our land, so he would be the manager. So if there's any discrepancy with that, well, whatever. Stormwater, it is only a small operation. We're not talking 10 years, 5 days a week for 10 years. It is only if we get a contract from the Shire or at main roads that will go and crush 10,000 tonne within a week. That is done. We're not talking years and years. And that's, but I've tried to speak to some of the residents, they don't care. They don't accept the fact that it's the 10 years is 10 years, and that's all they see. But they crush all that gravel, which is only 40,000, 50,000 tonne. As you are aware, what you've done out there on 6 Mile Road is only 19,000 tonne. It's not a big pile of gravel. But at the end of the day, my farmland, where the gravel pits are, the land will be better for agriculture. And it is agriculture priority. Thank you.
Any questions? Linda? No, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, one last item, reports of members of attending committees. Around the table, Councillor Henson.
28th April. The Swelga Zone meeting, which is held in Nanup as an observer. 1st of May, short-term accommodation workshop. 3rd of May, represented the Shire at the International Firefighters Memorial Service held in Busselton, which honoured those who'd lost their lives as career, volunteer, parks and wildlife, firefighters and state emergency volunteers. The 6th of May, Warren Blackwood Alliance of Councils Futures Forum held at the Power Up Museum in Manjimup with Minister Don Punch, Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, Water, Climate Resilience and the South West as the guest speaker. We were treated to the launch of a very professionally produced short video showcasing the Blackwood Valley Shires with David Taylor presenting the best of Manjimup. 8th of May, Audit and Risk Committee. 8th of May, after that chaired the strategic forum. 15th of May, attended the meeting at the CRC re the town's teams with a focus on the Noonooda Community Garden.
Thursday the 1st of May, short-term accommodation workshop. Thursday 8th of May, visit to the Nanup Cemetery, the Audit and Risk Advisory Committee meeting, and then the Strategic Concept Forum. And today, the Thursday 22nd of May, the Concept Forum and the Ordinary Council meeting.
Councillor Fraser.
The 1st of May, did the short-term workshop. The 5th of May, Deputy chaired off the BFAC meeting, 8th of May, Audit and Risk Advisory Committee, followed by the strategic meeting, and did get up this in prayer as well.
Councillor Brown.
28th of April, the Swalga Zone meeting as an observer. On the 1st of May, short-term accommodation workshop. The 5th of May, CI engagement meeting, and followed that evening to the BFAC meeting. On the 6th of May, the Warren Blackwoods Alliance Futures Forum in Manjimup. And the 8th of May, visit with the Friends of the Cemetery at the Cemetery. And later that day, the Audit Risk Advisory meeting followed by the Strategic Forum meeting.
Yes, sir.
1st of May, the short-term accommodation workshop. The 8th of May, the Audit and Risk Committee followed by the Strategic Forum. Today's meetings.
6th of May, attended the Warren Blackwood Alliance for Councils presentation in Manjimup. 7th of May, chaired the LEMAC meeting at the SES depot. 8th of May, visited the cemetery with the Friends of the Cemetery. And later in the day, attended the Audit and Risk Advisory meeting, followed up with the Strategic Concept Forum meeting. Thank you.
Yes, did open a lot of the short-term accommodation workshop. Cemetery visit. I must congratulate the people working in the cemetery. I've got two or three generations buried up there, and it's marvellous to see the improvements up there. Audit and Risk Committee. I did not attend the Warren Blackwood Alliance Council because I was in Perth representing the South West Local Government Zone at a World of Board meeting at the City of Swan. And on the 28th of April, the South West Local Government Association. Which I chair that as well. Okay, reports of officers. 11.1, Council Committee and Working Groups. There is a recommendation on page 10. A significant change in our method of operation. I've moved a seconder for that. Councillor Hanson has so moved. Councillor Curtis, Councillor Hanson.
After an officer review of council committees and working groups, it was found that some committees are actually advisory working groups and that some of the committees require changes to the terms of reference to comply with the Local Government Amendment Act of 2024. To this end, this motion seeks to disband the formal committees of Australia Day, Risk Management, Sustainability and Tourism, and re-establish them as advisory committees to maintain Audit and Risk Advisory Committee, Bushfire Advisory Committee and Local Emergency Management Committee. Before July 2025, Council is required to appoint presiding and deputy presiding persons for all of the Shire's formal committees. This can be the reappointment of the incumbents, which is proposed in this motion. All positions to remain in place until after the October 2025 election of councillors. The CEO is to review the terms of reference for the three committees being maintained prior to the council elections and to develop terms of reference for the conduct of advisory working groups. In the interim, the current terms of reference remain relevant.
Councillor Curtis.
And just another point that the Audit Committee will be revised as the Audit Risk and Improvement Committee and must have an independent presiding member.
And I shall speak for or against the motions. Councillor Brown.
May I ask a question?
Certainly.
On the top of page 8 it says the local drug action group committee, whilst referred to as a committee, was not established through council and therefore considered an advisory working group. However, in the recommendation it's not listed as to establish a advisory working group for the local drug action group. So my question is, if the local drug action group is not listed and endorsed in item 2 of the Office of Recommendation as an advisory group, will it lose the administration it's currently receives to support and assist in level drug activities?
Oh, should flick that one to the CEO.
Thank you. So the reason it wasn't on here is because it was never ratified to begin with, but no, the officers are still going to be involved in that committee and you'll still get the administration support attached to that working party.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else want to speak for or against? If not, you know, I reply. Fine. Welcome to the vote. All those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. Okay. 11.2, risk management. A recommendation. A lengthy recommendation. On page 17, move and send that recommendation on risk management. Councillor Hanson, Councillor Curtis again. Thank you.
The motion pertains to risk management within the operations of the Shire, providing clear guidelines to assess risk. The Shire undertook a review and updated and endorsed its risk management system review at the Council meeting on the 22nd of August 2024. Since then, Council agendas have contained a simple statement of associated risks. Further review of the risk management framework has resulted in the identification of an operational gap, being the lack of clearly documented risk matrix table for users of the framework to easily assess the level of risk based upon the combined likelihood and consequences of the risk. A risk matrix table has been developed to address this gap and was the subject of an audit and risk committee meeting held the 24th of April 2025. This motion supports the audit and risk management committee's recommendation that the risk management framework be amended to include the risk matrix as printed and to embed the risk management guidance in all future agendas for council and formal committees of council and recommend to council.
Councillor Curtis.
Nothing else to add, thank you.
Anyone else want to speak for or against? If not, I shall put it all those in favour. Yes, carried unanimously. Item 11.3, ICT strategic plan for Shire and Manor. You have a recommendation on page 22. Move and second. Councillor Brown has so moved. And Councillor Stoddard has seconded. Councillor Brown.
The officer's recommendation to adopt the ICT strategic plan 25-35 for Shire and Manor is strongly supported. The plan provides a clear and forward-looking roadmap to guide the Shire's use and development of information and communications technology over the next decade. It is strategically aligned with the Shire's broader goals of digital transformation, enhanced service delivery, improved operational efficiency, and community-focused governance. The plan has undergone internal consultation, follows best practice in ICT governance, and was endorsed at the Audit and Risk Committee on the 8th of May. It offers a structured, accountable approach to ICT development that supports the Shire's long-term strategic goals. I recommend that Council adopts the ICT Strategic Plan 2025-2035 as recommended by the Audit and Risk Committee.
Councillor Slide.
I'd just like to commend the officer for the piece of work. It's an excellent piece of work and will move the council forward.
Any else to speak for or against? If not, I shall put it. All those in favour? Against. Carried. Give us the feedback. 11.4, development application, community purpose shed. There is a rather long recommendation, page 26, 27. You have a second for that?
Mr. Chair, would this not be laid on the table after all the information that we've got passed through by accreditation? Would it be laid on the table to be find out things?
Councillor Fraser has moved the procedural recommendation that the item lay on the table until all items of brought up tonight from the various presentations, be answered. It's a procedural motion. It doesn't need a seconder, and there is no debate on a procedural motion. It's either a yes or no. All in favour of that procedural motion agree to that the item lay on the table for further clarification. Against? Councillor Brown, what are you voting?
Sorry.
Yes, no, it stays live. I'll move a seconder for that, please.
For the motion?
Yes. Councillor Gibb has moved. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Curtis. Councillor Gibb.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have listened to the various parties, the offers of recommendation. I've heard from and listened and read all the proponents to it and the Lions Club submission. I support this application from the Lions Club of Nanup, and note the Lions are an internationally recognised brand, and all towns aspire to have one in their town. LPS4 is clear on the available use of the proposed lands. It is also clear that the Nanup Shire has a responsibility to, whenever possible, to support the local service groups, of which Nanup Lions Club is one. The Lions, for many years, did have access to a shed, but with the passing of long-time Lions member Trevor Hine, lost access to the previous storage shed. We see our Nanup Lions Club supporting many community events, and they do so at a high standard of presentation. In the granting of a site to establish a storage ability for the various property and furniture, and future events, then as a councillor, I'm proud to be able to support this application. In my view, the immediate site has supported the Shire Depot for the storage of road maintenance materials for many years. The addition of the Lions storage shed can only enhance the site. I do make a point that the Lions Club do need to plan for a future water tank to support the new shed, and to plan within the shed a male and female toilet facility. They are a long way out of town in one way, albeit a short distance in the other. Officers' recommendations 1 to 8 inclusive are comprehensive in the conditions that are set out to form the basis of an approval for an approval, all of which I agree with. Thank you.
Councillor Curtis.
I would just like to add that the Shire Administration undertook consultation with nearby landowners, and after having several conversations and a meeting with the residents of East Nanup Road, I would like to convey the frustration and confusion the residents have felt in regards to communication received in relation to this application. By visiting the site and reading the information given on the plans, I can understand why there was confusion.
Okay, does anyone else speak for or against? Councillor Brown.
Firstly, I'd like to acknowledge the tireless work and contributions of the Nanup Lions Club and its dedicated workers. The Nanup Lions Club plays a vital role in the shaping of the strength and spirit of the Nanup community. Their contributions are both deeply valued and recognised as a cornerstone of the town's livability and connectedness. I congratulate the Nanup Lions on securing the Forest Transition Grant for the purpose of constructing a much-needed storage shed. I'd also like to thank the staff for their comprehensive agenda items supporting the documentation. However, I would agree that we have let the Lions Club down by not conducting a more comprehensive evaluation of alternative sites. Other locations may have offered better functionality, particularly for potential future uses such as holding on-site public auctions and the opening of a Lions Chalet shop, whilst also offering more improved public visibility or accessibility. Although this may not be a priority for the current Lions members, it is important for us to all maximise the opportunities for the future. Community concerns have been raised in relation to the proposed site. Although the current application is for storage only, it is my understanding there is no planning restriction preventing future intensification of use should Lions Club members in the future wish to apply to change their activities at the site. If the use of the site expands over time, supporting the application may be perceived as disregarding public feedback. I believe that there are significant strategic shortcomings. The lack of a full alternative site assessment, the potential for future high impact use, and the missed opportunity to select a more suitable commercially viable site that would have provided more opportunities to the Nanuk Lions Club. Regardless of how I vote tonight and the outcome on this matter, I thank the Nanuk Lions Club members for all they do for our community and wish them all the best with their shared project.
Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Fraser.
I have the most respect and admiration for the Lions Club here in Nanuk and also Australia-wide for what they do to the committee and how they conduct themselves. But a development application is a legal binding document for all submitters and councillors receiving them. Without the proper paperwork in place, it is illegal to be able to grant permission for any municipal development to take place. We as councillors are legally obligated to obey the governing laws of the state. We have no legal rights to allow this development as the land is still pending on approval from Landgate.
Anyone else want to speak for or against? Yes, Councillor Hanson.
I just noted that the management order has been approved by DPL Hatch. To be amended to include the community purpose and is waiting final registration by Landgate. I have noted the submissions against the development and have listened to the concerns of local residents in East Nanuk Road. These concerns are around visual impact, potential noise pollution, traffic and safety impacts. There are environmental concerns regarding local flora and fauna. These concerns are real and those opposed to the application wish to maintain their current way of life and are justifiably concerned with how this development may affect their amenity and lifestyle. The Shire staff has investigated all other possible locations for this community shed, but it appears that this is the only viable and affordable site. The shed is not for industrial use and is simply for storage of vehicles, equipment and donated items for the annual Lions auction. The Lions Club have stated that only members will have access to the shed, with proposed vehicle access of once or twice a month. It's not to be used for meetings or social gatherings. No additional parking is required with access to the shed from the front. The Shire will undertake all site works and will look to minimise vegetation clearing, with the shed to be placed to be obscured from the road by mature trees. There are 8 conditions and 8 advice notes attached to this recommendation. These offer clear and considered guidelines for the applicant, which should protect the amenity and lifestyle of the neighbouring property owners. As a community, we need to work together for the best outcomes, not just for individuals, but for the whole of Nanuk community. Service groups like the Lions Club serve this community in many ways and are a positive force for social cohesion and assisting those in need. Our local residents also contribute to the fabric of this community and care for the natural environment they live in and build their lives around, and deserve to have their quality of life maintained. For the good of the whole community, we need to consider each other's point of view and work towards a compromise that serves the greater good.
And also I speak for or against? If not, Councillor Gibb, give you a right of reply.
Yeah, nothing more to add, Mr. President.
Okay. I shall put the recommendation as printed there on page 26 and 27. All those in favour? 1, 2, 3, 4. Those against? 3. It's carried. Okay. 11.5, development application, industry extractive gravel. Recommendation on page 33. We have a recommendation on page 33. Can you move a seconder for that, please? Councillor Hanson has moved.
Second.
Councillor Gibbard has seconded. Councillor Hanson.
A development application has been lodged for a gravel extractive industry at lot 121 Roberts Road, Carlotta. Shire officers have prepared a report to inform council of the outcomes of the consultation period, consider submissions, key issues, and to set out the next steps regarding the development application. The development application is not being considered for approval at this meeting. The motion is to note the submissions from neighbouring properties and government departments in attachment 11.5.3. To inform the applicant that before the application will be considered, they are to prepare a noise management plan to address matters raised in the submissions and prepare a dust management plan. After receipt of this documentation from the applicant, the Shire Administration will reconsult with landowners who made submissions before a separate report will be submitted to Council. Also note that the councillors and staff have visited the proposed site and spoken with both the applicant and the neighbouring landowners.
Councillor Gibb.
Thank you, Mr. President. Look, I read the officer's recommendation and I believe that there was no decision to be made here tonight. And I support that recommendation. Unfortunately, the community's jumped in, the proponents for the project have jumped in, and it's unfortunate that this is the process, but it does give everybody another point of reflection. And I'm looking forward to the recommendation when it comes back with the reports that have been requested around dust and noise. And that's all I can say, thank you.
Anyone else want to speak for or against? If not, don't need a right reply, Councillor Hanson. Before I move on, I do note that Councillor Brown did leave the meeting.
At 5.48.
5.48, and she has a financial interest in this. Put the officer's recommendation, all those in favour? Against? It's carried unanimously. Okay, 11.6. Now the three members to vacate. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Sorry.
You're out and she's back
in. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Gang of five. Please note that Councillor Gibbs, Councillor Curtis and the CEO did vacate the chambers. They've declared a financial interest in this item. Temporary camping outside the caravan parks for cycling events. A recommendation on the bottom of page 36. A mover and a seconder for that. Councillor Hanson, Councillor Sly.
The Gravel 7 Festival site will be held in the Shire of Nanup between the 3rd and 9th of October 2026. With the UCI Gravel World Championship to follow on the 10th and 11th of October of the same year. Large number of participants and visitors are expected, and it has been identified that there is insufficient accommodation available locally in caravan parks, hotels and other short-term rental accommodation. The Shire Administration supports short-term camping on private land associated with the cycling events, subject to effective management by landowners to retain local amenity. An all-encompassing approval is limited to one caravan or campsite per property, and for administrative efficiency, it is preferable that an all-encompassing approval is issued by the Shire for multiple properties with conditions on length of stay, servicing and amenity, controlling noise, rather than issuing individual approvals. This would provide clarity and assist local property owners in hosting visitors to the cycling events. Landowners can take payment to be compensated for water power use and for allowing camping on their property. It is proposed that the Shire will seek expressions of interest from the community for landowners to nominate their property for approval to accommodate camping or one caravan for the event. Once those properties are delineated on a map, clause 11A of the regulation would allow an approval licence to be issued by the Shire for the properties identified on the map as a singular approval licence. This gives the Shire the opportunity to specify conditions referring to the event dates, such as sufficient power, water, cooking facilities, negating road hazard, sanitation and rubbish. The Shire Administration will consider more than one caravan or campsite per property for land zone, rural property, rural, priority agricultural, rural small holdings between the dates the 3rd to the 11th of October, subject to the landowner applying and gaining approval from the Shire. I support the motion as a common sense approach that supports local ratepayers and visitors and limits bureaucratic red tape to achieve a positive outcome for the Nanup community.
Councillor Sloan.
Completely agree with Councillor Hanson. It's a way of mitigating administration to make it more efficient because it's going to be a very busy time.
Anyone else want to speak for or against the motion? Councillor Brown.
I believe this approach is both practical and a community focus. It enables landowners to participate in and benefit financially from the events while also supporting the region's economy by accommodating more visitors. The flexibility to allow more than one campsite on rural zone properties with appropriate approval further increases capacity while maintaining oversight. Importantly, the Shire has considered the key risks involved, such as impacts on amenity and the need for responsible site management, and has outlined strategies to mitigate these risks. The proposal offers a balanced, low-cost and locally empowered solution to a temporary accommodation challenge. It supports regional tourism, promotes community involvement, and ensures that Nanup is well prepared to host events of international significance. If implemented well, I hope that this approach could serve as a model for similar future events in our community or some of our festivals. I thank and congratulate the Shire staff on the work of this initiative.
Can I speak for or against? Councillor Hanson, any right of thought?
Nothing.
Okay, put it to vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Let our members come back. Okay. 11.7 delegated planning decisions for April. Motion on page 38. Recommendation, please. Move. Councillor Brown. Second it. Councillor Sloan. Councillor Brown.
The three delegated planning decisions for April 2025 to the value of $232,393.95. 100% of all approvals issued in the month were completed within the statutory timeframes of either 60 or 90 days. And I recommend that Council receive the report for delegated development approvals as per attachment 11.7.1.
Councillor Sloan.
Nothing to add.
Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Fraser.
I do know that another Airbnb.
Anyone else want to make a comment for or against? If not, Councillor Brown, right. Okay, prepared to vote. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Payment of accounts. That was carried unanimously. Page 40, recommendation. Move and second, please. Councillor Sly. Second, please. Councillor Brown, Councillor Sly.
Okay, with the officer recommendation that the council notes the payment accounts totaling $342,604.28 for the period of 1st April to 3rd of the record 2025 as per attachment 11.8.1.
Cuts the road. Nothing? Anyone else want to speak for or against? If not, I shall put it. All those in favour? Against? Carried. 11.9 Financial Activity Statements, April 2025. Motion on page 42. Councillor Sly, so moved. Councillor Curtis. Councillor Sly.
Okay. substantial period ending 13th of April 2025 present the financial performance of the Shire for the 2024-25 financial year and compare the year-to-date expenditure and revenue against the corresponding year-to-date. Of note, in the financial reports, on page 27, they say thank you to the officer for providing us some feedback on some on the variances. But I would note the materials is overspent year-to-date, and the commentary on the variances talks about underspends. So does that mean we're going to be even more overspent at the end of the year? So maybe we should have a quick look at those commentary. But apart from that, I'm quite happy with the figures that presented.
Councillor Curtis.
Nothing to add.
Anyone else want to speak for or against? If not, I put all those in favour. Yes, carried unanimously. Okay, no previous motions have been given. The meeting doesn't have to be closed for agenda items, and I officially close the meeting at 6 p.m. And thank your attendance and to the public.